Hey, good morning. You can have a seat if you want to. Oh, if you're at home, you can stand if you want to. Oh, it is good to see you all. How are you? Okay. Okay, so here's what I learned before I took my hike. I read this amazing book called The Lost Art of Reading Nature's Signs. Anybody read that? Have you read that? It's amazing. It's all the things that nature will tell us to keep us alive. Like, if you're lost in the woods and you want to know where east to west is, but it's been, like, overcast, trees actually get sunburn. There will be one side that's tan and one side that's lighter because they put on, like, their own sunscreen to protect themselves. It's amazing. But one of the simplest things that I learned, because roads sometimes go way around where you're wanting to go. Are you with me? Like, the fastest way between point A and point B is a straight line, but often the road goes this way. And so if you're going to cut across a field, the key thing to do is this. There is always something above the horizon. Right, there's always something above the horizon. Sometimes it's a regular natural item, like a tree. By the way, all the artwork, in case you want to know, was done by me this week. Thank you very much. Sometimes it's like one of my favorites were the huge electrical posts that you can see from a distance away. But here's the trick. If you want to make it from point A to point B, what you do is you find a point behind you, a stationary object, something that's above the horizon, and you find a point ahead of you, a stationary object, something on the horizon, and you head toward the place you're going, and you can always look back and see that you're still on the straight line. That way you don't go way out of your way. Are you with me? Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. I say that because to understand what John is doing in the Gospel of John, we need to understand this. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up to John. That's where we're hanging out. And when we get to John 1:14, John writes these words. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen, circle seen, we have seen his glory, the glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. See, what John is doing is setting this great big "you are here" logo. You are here. See, the readers of John, they had actually seen Jesus face to face. Jesus had been born. They had interacted with him. John was a disciple of Jesus. And so he's saying, here's what you saw. He's situating this event in a real time and a real place. So you have to be careful when we read this because we aren't there. We're here on the timeline. Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us about 2,000 years ago. Right? Historical event. They know there was this Jesus fellow from Nazareth. And we know it was 2,000 years ago. Things are different. Here's my question, though. Where are you? I'm amazed how hard it is to get from point A to point B when you don't know you are here. Where are you? It might be wise to take some effect, effect isn't the right word, como se dice, some account, some stop and go, where am I? Let's just be honest. Where are you emotionally? I'm amazed already. I've been back for a couple weeks now. The amount of people who have come up to me and said, I'm depressed. This year has been tough. The Bible tells us it's not good that man should be alone. I would unpack that and actually say it's not good that man should be alone with his wife in a house for 8 months and have no other social interaction. I was talking to a friend that works in the psychological field and was told this is going to have some far-reaching effects. Where are you? If you're dealing with depression, call somebody. Talk to a professional. It's nothing to be ashamed of. If you roll your ankle, you go to a doctor and you get a splint. If you have suffered a traumatic experience, maybe it's thrown the chemicals off in your body in such a way that you need to deal with it in a real way. But I'm amazed how many people just press on and never stop and go, I am here. Others of you are looking at me and you're going, you're nuts. This has been the best year ever. The amount of people who have shown me sparkly things on their left finger right between where the knuckle meets. It's amazing, and they're sparkly, and they're beautiful. And dudes, you did a good job picking them out. Congratulations. The amount of you that come up to me already, and I can't say this, I can say this publicly, but I've got to make sure I don't look at the wrong place, that she just leans forward a little bit and smiles. Right, you know what that means. This is why I like doing the wine, because when somebody that always takes the wine at communion all of a sudden switches to grape juice and after service goes to this, I can put a few things together. Congratulations. But it's important to stop and go, hold on. You are here. Why? Because that's where God works. God always works contextually. God always works in real times, in real places. God meets us exactly where we are. God doesn't meet us in some mythical la-la land with unicorns and sparkly glitter. God meets us in the bad breath and body odor real world. And so be there. See, that's what John is doing when in the Gospel of John, he says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. See, 2,000 years later, we look back at Nazareth, we look back at Bethlehem, and we remember when Jesus became flesh. But John is calling us to move forward, and the way he's doing it is he goes, look even farther backward. That's why last week we looked at that word thing and all the way back to Genesis, where when he's saying the word became flesh, he's calling all the way back to Genesis 1, where God said words. He's saying this is one narrative of events in the Bible, and you are being called to live into that narrative of events. Are you with me? Everybody tracking? See, John goes, you are here. You pick a point behind you that's fixed and that it's above the horizon. And then you pick a point in front of you. Because when you do that, you start seeing Jesus everywhere. Here's how the trick works for those tuning on from last week. Anybody remember what the card was? Two of diamonds. See, some of you are early in your life. You're right here, and when you look, Jesus is right there. Some of you are a little bit later in your life. You know who you are. I thought that would get a laugh. It did first service. And when you look, there's Jesus. Why? Let me show you how the trick has worked, or how the trick works. And write this down if you're a note taker. The deck is stacked. The deck is stacked. Can you see it? Nine of clubs. Two of diamonds. Seven of clubs. Huh, I missed a card. Six of spades. Two of diamonds. Six of hearts. Two of diamonds. Jack of diamonds. Two of diamonds. By the way, you can't revoke my magician's license because I'm not one. Eight of spades. Two of diamonds. Ten of spades. Two of diamonds. Five of diamonds. Any guesses? Two of diamonds. See, the deck is stacked. Remember, we said that was the Jesus card. Jesus is everywhere. Jesus is in all and through all. By the way, how do you cut? How do you cut so that you make sure every single time you're cutting to the two of diamonds? How do you make sure that no matter where you cut the cards, it's the two of diamonds? Because every other card is two of diamonds, but how am I doing that consistently? Because the two of diamonds, it's called a Svengali deck, are just off the horizon. The two of diamonds are just a little bit shorter than the other card. So no matter where you stop, boom, two of diamonds. Interesting. See, when you learn to look just off the horizon, you start to see Jesus everywhere. You start to see Jesus, whether it's that mountaintop experience where it's you finally met that person or you're finally having a person, or whether you're dealing with words you can't say in church is usually how you describe it. So we say in the kids worship, icky poo poo kaka. Those moments. See, when we learn to look at it, we realize that Jesus is right there. Because the deck is stacked. Jesus is always bringing healing. Jesus is always bringing hope. Jesus is always bringing salvation. Jesus went to the cross so that we can be with him forever. And that doesn't just mean some point off in history. It really means forever, even in the here and now, in the brokenness of everything. So we pick this point and we see how Jesus is that crimson cord running through all of the Old Testament, all of the New Testament, even to where we are. And John does this amazing thing where he sticks the final stake in the ground in Revelation. See, Revelation was written by John. Everybody loves to talk Revelation. Number one request for Bible study: Pastor, can we study Revelation? Yes, because people like weird. And see, those of you that laughed, we like it everywhere. If you don't believe me, just go home and go, I'm going to flip through my Netflix previously viewed. We like weird. And John is weird, mainly because it's written to a different culture in a different context. I'm sorry, Revelation is weird because it's written to a different culture in a different context, but it's written by John. I always say, if we want to do a Revelation Bible study, we have to study John first. Then we have to study Genesis. Then we have to study Daniel, because John is actually just riffing on Daniel all the time. Then we can go to Revelation. But here's the part that I want to bring today, because it's that final moment. In Revelation, go to Revelation 1:8. That's what's amazing. First time that Jesus speaks. First thing that Jesus says in Revelation, it's in red in my Bible. If you don't have a red letter Bible, it says, the Lord God says, and then there's quotation marks. Did you catch what it is? Jesus says this. First thing Jesus says in Revelation, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Now, this is the part that I don't understand about Bible translators. The whole New Testament is written, 99% of the New Testament is written in Greek. There's a few Aramaic phrases in there. Elo ele labach sabachthani. Yeah, well, can you find that song again, by the way, that we did, that's the bluesy, where it's Elo, who is that? Oh, if you haven't heard this song, come Good Friday. Can we do that Good Friday? You'll weep. You will weep. So there's that part. The rest of it is written in Greek. Why did John choose to write it in Greek? Because that's what everybody spoke. English would not be invented for another 200 years. So we wrote it in Greek. So today we take the Greek and we translate it into Hebrew, or into, we translate it into English. Right? We translate Jesus saying, I am the, ego me. We translate to I am the, but then we take Alpha and we don't translate it. We take Omega and we don't translate it. It's not a fraternity, right? That's what it looks like. That's an Alpha on the right. It looks like a little fish. That's an Omega on the left. It looks like a W. See, but we get it when we go into today what he's riffing on. See, today if we were going to translate the whole thing, we'd say, I am the A and the Z. Right? Jesus is Mr. Mraz. See, that was the joke I put first service and asked Tim about it. He'll explain why it's funny. Please explain why it's funny. Okay, please at least explain it. We'll let them decide if it's funny. No, right? Mr. A to Z. It's Jesus is the beginning and the end. He's this fixed point above the horizon that has been, and you can orient your life around. You can say, Jesus was here in the beginning, and Jesus will be here at the end. And if I keep my life between those two poles, I can find direction. I can find hope. I can find healing. When I get way off, what do? I return my eyes to Jesus. Anybody else sing that when you were a kid? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. See, what the songwriter is doing there is unpacking what John was saying. What the writer of Hebrews is doing is unpacking what John is saying. Hebrews 12:2, if you have your Bibles, turn to it. Everybody there? Because I'm going to need you to play along. I'm reading from the ESV. That's the English Standard Translation, not the extra special version. But it says this, look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. Look to Jesus. Anybody got a different translation? What you got?
Looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Yeah. What kind was that?
That's
King James. Anybody else? Justin, you got one? I thought you had a different.
ESV.
What's ESV? Oh, I'm in ESV.
ESV.
We match. My granny. Oh, you got one, Andy?
Yeah.
Go for it.
Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the God.
See, I love, and my granny would just mix them up. She'd take the best words of all. She said, fix. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. You're going to have high points, you're going to have low points, but fix your eyes on Jesus. He started your faith, and he'll finish it. I want to get real nuts and bolts practical. How? What do you need to do to fix your eyes on Jesus? Not to earn your salvation, not to make him love you anymore, but to focus on that, not on all the other stuff. What do you have to do? Do you need to get it tattooed on your forehead or your forearm? Timmy B., if you're watching online, if you have room on your knuckles, just Hebrews 12:2, fix your eyes on Jesus. If anybody ever doesn't, then No, in all seriousness, what do you do? Is it a tattoo? Is it a post-it note on your bathroom mirror? Is it even more permanent, a Sharpie on your bathroom mirror? Fix your eyes on Jesus. What do you need to do to remind yourself to fix your eyes on Jesus? Put it there now, in this time, in this place, because when you're on a mountaintop, you'll return to that and remember that that is grace, that that is a gift, that that is hope. And when you're in the middle of the valley, it'll remind you to fix your eyes on Jesus, the one who started your faith. We'll finish it. So you are not alone in this moment. Ryan, will you pray for us?